Jana I'll read a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 24th chapter. Krishnastvanantvanya manam rupam gopa vishrambanam gata sailo smiti bhruvan bhuri balim adad vihadvapu. Translation: Krishna, then assumed an unprecedented huge form to instill faith in the cowherd men, declaring, "I am Govardhan Mountain." He ate the abundant offerings. Report. In chapter 24 of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada writes, "When everything was complete, Krishna assumed a great transcendental form and declared to the inhabitants of Vrindavan that he was himself Govardhan Hill in order to convince the devotees that Govardhan Hill and Krishna are identical. Then Krishna began to eat all the food offered there. The identity of Krishna and Govardhan Hill is still honored, and great devotees take rocks from Govardhan Hill and worship them exactly as they worship the deity of Krishna in the temples. Followers of the Krishna consciousness movement may therefore collect small rocks or pebbles from Govardhan Hill and worship them at home, because this worship is as good as deity worship. But Krishna had induced the residents of Vrindavan to assume a significant risk on his behalf. He convinced them to neglect a sacrifice to what is, after all, the powerful government of the universe, and to worship a hill called Govardhan instead. The cowherd community did all this simply out of love for Krishna. And now, to convince them that their decision was correct, Lord Krishna appeared in an unprecedented, huge, transcendental form and demonstrated that he himself was Govardhan Hill." Om Jnana Timirandasya Gananjana Savakaya Chaksha Unminitanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Ukam Karoti Vachalam Pungam Nangayate Garyam Yakipa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurandina Taranam Nama Om Vishnu Pidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vidanta Saman Iti Namane Namaste Sarasate Devi Gauravani Pacharane Niyavrishesha Shanyavari Pastachade Satarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaiti Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, interestingly, today we are observing Govardhan Puja. I say interestingly because last Sunday I observed Govardhan Puja, last Monday I observed Govardhan Puja, and today I'm observing Govardhan Puja. I happen to be in different places and different days it was observed. I was told yesterday that Krishna held Govardhan Hill for 7 days. So this is, I guess, the last day. And, of course, each day, both prior to Krishna's lifting Govardhan Hill, his lifting Govardhan Hill and his replacing Govardhan Hill was an unprecedented event for the residents in Vrindavan, especially during their 7-day period where they were under the umbrella of Govardhan Hill, held by Krishna on his left hand to protect them from the Samvartita clouds, which Lord Indra had sent to punish the residents of Vrindavan for having neglected to perform the annual worship that they generally do for him. Being convinced by Krishna's arguments, although Bhagavatam makes it clear that it wasn't really the arguments that convinced the residents of Vrindavan to take up the worship of Giriraj, of Govardhan Hill. Krishna tried to use an argument. He wanted to make Indra angry, and that was one of his purposes. He had two purposes. One was to make Indra angry so that he could set Indra correct because of his pride. Krishna sometimes doesn't like to see pride in his devotees, and Indra is a devotee, a powerful devotee, demigod over the heavenly planets. Sometimes he becomes proud. We were speaking last week. One example of his pride is goes back to the time when his spiritual master Brihaspati entered into the assembly, and Indra was sitting there, and because he was a little bit, when a person gets overwhelmed by intoxicated. He was intoxicated by the worship of those who were present. Due to his intoxication, he neglected to offer proper respect to his spiritual master. He became a little proud. And his spiritual master decided to teach him a lesson, and he immediately left that place. And then when he left, Indra realized, I think I made a mistake due to his pride. And he began looking for his spiritual master, Brihaspati, but he disappeared, and he realized, if I don't fall at his feet and offer my apologies for my pride, I could be subject to some unpleasant circumstances. So that was one case when Indra was proud. There are other instances also when Prithu Maharaj was performing horse sacrifices, and he had been performing, he was about to perform a 100th horse sacrifice, and Indra was known as performing 100 horse sacrifices. And he was thinking, if Prithu Maharaj equals me, then I won't be renowned as the person performing 100. He's many examples. I don't want to go into those details. We don't want to lose the sense of the actual event we're observing today. But Indra does sometimes, being Sakama Bhakta, he becomes a little intoxicated by his position, his wealth, his power. And so much so, at this particular time, he became so intoxicated that when Krishna recommended to Ananda Maharaj and the residents of Vrindavan that they divert the ingredients for sacrifice that they had prepared for their annual Indra Yagya to instead direct it towards the worship of Govardhan Hill, Indra became overwhelmed by anger. Jumping a little bit ahead, because it's also explained by our acharyas that this whole event, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, gives a nice, it's a short commentary. He said that Krishna, being the omniscient super soul in everyone's heart, he said Krishna knew all about these sacrifices. Krishna knew all about these, about the sacrifice, because he had seen it many times before. As Paramatma, he was inspiring the Rajavasis to perform the sacrifice. Yet being eager to enact his pastimes of lifting Govardhan Hill, Krishna cleverly inquired from his father about the imminent sacrifice. Krishna is called Sarvadarshana because he could see into the future, wherein he would smash Indra's pride and enjoy pastimes with his loving devotees for 7 days. So, in fact, another very nice example that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives in this connection, I won't jump ahead too far, I'll get to it in a minute, but as we know, for those of us who've read the 24th and 25th chapters of Krishna book, or may have read Srimad Bhagavatam, the same chapters there in Srimad Bhagavatam. The residents of Vrindavan were preparing for their Indra Yagya, and Krishna, who wanted to establish exclusive devotion to him, and he also wanted to curb Indra's pride, and he also wanted to relish a particular
type of relish amongst his devotees that was very unique. And that unique relishing of his devotees is that when lifting Govardhan Hill, all the residents of Govardhan, as we know, they came into the hill and they were all personally present with Krishna for 7 consecutive days. Generally, Krishna's pastimes are such that Krishna goes out to the pasturing grounds during the day with his cowherd boyfriends. They're with him, and while he's out with the cowherd boyfriends, Mother Jasoda, as we see right here, this wonderful picture painted many years ago, shows Jasoda waiting very intensely for Krishna to return at the end of his day's venture with his cowherd boyfriends while in the pasturing grounds, because she's feeling intense separation while Krishna's away. So then Krishna returns, Mother Jasoda, she receives Krishna, she holds him in her embrace, and they spend the evening preparing food for him, and then Krishna is put to bed, and then during the night, Krishna is also enjoying pastimes with his beloveds, and in the morning, Mother Jasoda returns, and after Krishna awakes, and just as we were speaking about, maybe 2 days ago, I forget, I lost track of time. Was it last night? Where was I yesterday? Maybe it was 2 days ago. Krishna when he returns, Mother Jasoda receives him, and then in the morning, that's right, in the morning when Krishna wakes up, all his cowherd boyfriends come. They've all been away from him all night long while they're sleeping at home. They come to receive Krishna in the morning, and then Krishna goes out again for the pasturing grounds with his cowherd boyfriends. And this is a daily affair that goes on. But in the Govardhan Lila, it's actually described, it was a special pastime because for 7 consecutive days, there was no separation. Everyone was with Krishna. Krishna was looking at everyone. Krishna was relishing that intense love of his devotees according to all their particular relationships they had with him for 7 consecutive days. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also gives a very nice description. In fact, Garuda, last night, for those of you who are here, he was talking about how Krishna really, what controls Krishna the most is love. And that's what he wants more than anything else. He wants to experience love with those who love him. And those devotees in Vrindavan, they have a special type of love of Krishna, as their love is unalloyed. There's no motivation. Their only interest is pleasing Krishna. So it is not that when the arguments were given by Krishna to give up the worship of the Indra Yagya, that Nanda Maharaj was convinced by the arguments, but actually Nanda Maharaj and all the cowherd men and everyone else, they just loved Krishna so much. They just wanted to do what Krishna wanted. And without even taking into consideration what the potential consequences may be. And that's what we just read about in today's verse. Potential consequences were is that they were not conforming to the type of worship that was expected by Indra annually. And they understood that potentially he was going to get angry. But they didn't care because they love Krishna. But Krishna wanted to both get Indra angry, and he wanted to relish the love, the prema. And in fact, Krishna, this is what we were speaking about the other night also, that Krishna is hungry for prema. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that when Indra, out of his anger, he called upon the Samvartika clouds to come and to inundate the residents of Vrindavan. He wanted to punish them. And it appeared that they were distressed by it. The descriptions are very graphic. Samvartaka clouds is not an ordinary, it's not an ordinary rainfall that we may have experienced anywhere around here. Samvartaka clouds in pour raindrops that are, each raindrop is the size of an elephant trunk. And they fall very intensely and very hard. And you can imagine when you have unlimited raindrops falling very hard, very quickly, very intensely, the water level rises quite fast. And that's why the Samvartaka clouds are actually used for universal devastation. They're the same clouds that are used at the time of universal devastation to completely destroy the universe. They fill up the whole universe with water. And those were the same clouds that Indra said, come, let's punish the residents of Vrindavan. He called them and said, go punish them for their insulting me in this way. So apparently because of the intensity of the rainfall, it appeared that the residents of Vrindavan were experiencing distress. It appeared that the cows were experiencing distress. But here, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes a very nice point. He said that even before being informed that the rain was created by Indra, Krishna understood that Indra was responsible. The severe distress Indra apparently inflicted upon the residents of Vrindavan was an arrangement made by Sri Krishna's pastime potency called Lila Shakti, so that Krishna could taste the sweetness of their prema to his full satisfaction. He says, for a hungry person, the pain of hunger increases the happiness he feels when he finally eats excellent food. And thus, hunger can be said to enhance the pleasure of eating. So Krishna, as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is explaining, he was hungry for prema. He wanted to see the intensity of the love of his devotees. The devotees' love for Krishna is so intense that they don't suffer. They don't suffer with, there's no question of them suffering material miseries. In fact, we oftentimes quote a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which describes that devotees who are completely absorbed in thoughts of me, always hearing about, enchanting about me, they don't suffer from material miseries because they're always absorbed in thoughts of me. For them, any thought, anything that evokes thoughts of Krishna is the greatest pleasure. And therefore, Krishna, he creates situations to intensify their love for him. And their love for him is intensified, and because their love for him is intensified, because he's hungry for prema, then his love is intensified. And this is the experience of the residents of Vrindavan. It's not stagnant. Okay, I love Krishna. What's the manifestation of my love? I serve him. What do I do for him? Not only that, but it's not like they say, boy, I do the same thing every day for Krishna. Because the residents of Vrindavan, they serve Krishna because Krishna's pastimes are eternal. They're happening every day, the same pastimes. But they're never stagnant. They're never stale. Because each day is ever fresh. In fact, the nature of Krishna's pastimes is described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita by Srila Sanatana Goswami, is they're so ever fresh that each day they're doing the same thing, but they don't even, they're not even conscious that they did it the day before. So each day it's ever fresh. In fact, Sanatana Goswami even explains, he describes that Krishna, whatever he wants, he lifts Govardhan Hill. He can do it as much as he wants. He does it a lot to intensify the devotee's love. Krishna goes to Mathura and kills Kamsa. And he comes back. And the devotees feel great separation while he's in Mathura. And then he comes back. And then the intensity of that separation they feel is intensified when Krishna comes and they see Krishna. But it's not stagnant. Then Krishna goes again. But when he goes again, they're not conscious of the fact that Krishna went before. He does it all the time. And such is the nature of spiritual ecstasy, spiritual emotions, which are the manifestations of pure love. The difference between in the spiritual world is such spiritual experiences which are manifested eternally and are ever present and are ever fresh. They don't go on in a linear way like they do when Krishna comes to this world. In this world, Krishna's pastimes happen in a linear way. He appears. He has his childhood pastimes. Mother Jasoda, Krishna appears as her child, and she relishes his babyhood pastimes in so many different ways. Krishna grows older into his childhood pastimes. He takes the calves out to the forest, and he goes out with the calves into the pasturing grounds, and then and one day then Krishna wants to take out the cows, and Mother Jasoda is thinking, well, why should he take out the cows? Let him continue to take the calves. Maybe a little bit dangerous to take out the cows, but Krishna's growing older. His pastimes, he's aging, but it happens in a linear way. But in the spiritual world, there's no linear nature to Krishna's pastimes. They're going on eternally, ever fresh. And those same devotees come, and they appear in the material world. They appear in this world, in this universe. Once in the day of Brahma, Lord Krishna appears in each universe, and from one universe to the next, Krishna displays his pastimes, his loving pastimes, in association of his eternal devotees. And those perfected sadhakas who are very eager to join Krishna in the transcendental abode of Goloka Vrindavan, they get the opportunity to join Krishna wherever he is in the universe before they achieve what's called Vastu Siddhi. Vastu Siddhi is the eternal form. They get the Siddha. Siddha means their perfected form, and they actually join Krishna in whatever universe he's in, and then they begin to relish the same mood of affection that his eternal associates who come with him whenever he descends. And they relish it. And then after hearing about Krishna's pastimes, after relishing those pastimes in their association, after hearing about him, then what happens to them is they become qualified to achieve their eternal residence in the transcendental spiritual world. And therefore these pastimes are manifest in every universe so that everyone is given an opportunity to hear about them. Because the more one hears about them, the more what happens, the more one's, what is Prabhupada says, to know you is to love you. The more you know how wonderful Krishna is, the more you know how much he relishes love between his devotees, the know how much he relishes that love so much with his devotees that he becomes completely subordinate to their love and becomes controlled by their love. It's such an attractive feature. It's actually described as the most attractive feature of God. It is the emperor of all of his qualities. The emperor which conquers all other emperors. It's the all-conquering emperor. It's called Bhaktavatsalya. Bhaktavatsalya means the quality of God that although he's the supreme controller, although he's the supreme enjoyer, although he's the supreme master of the universes, he's the cause of all causes, everything is coming from him. All of this happens through his different, diverse energies, but what he relishes the most is being controlled by the love of his devotees. That's what he relishes. That's his pleasure. That's how he derives his pleasure. It's not that he derives pleasure by seeing his devotees suffering. He's not thinking, oh, look at the resonance. I'm by my Leela Shakta, I'm going to create a suffering situation for my devotees. I like to see them suffering. They don't suffer. Their love intensifies. And his love intensifies. So that is the nature of loving relationships. And this Govardhan Leela is one such Leela, one such pastime, where Krishna relishes with his devotees for 7 consecutive days under the umbrella of the hill of Govardhan is he holds it with his left hand, and he holds the hill while Indra is inundating the residents of Vrindavan with the Samvartita clouds. It's very interesting also, though. It also explains, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, that nobody suffered. The residents of Vrindavan didn't suffer because Krishna held up the hill and said, why are you standing there? Come inside. And come onto this umbrella. And as he was holding the umbrella of Govardhan Hill and calling everyone to come in, they all came onto the hill. And under the hill, one may think under the hill is just like rocks, mud, worms, and whatever you may think you find under a hill. But under Govardhan Hill, Krishna, through his Leela Shakti, he transformed everything under Govardhan Hill into beautiful streaming pastures, rivers and streams, and beautiful buildings and lakes and swans. Everything was, for them, they didn't miss anything. They didn't miss anything. They came there, and it was all just very beautiful. So you can say, okay, all the residents that were there, and Krishna called them, please come onto the hill. But even those who were on the hill, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, when Krishna was holding the hill elevated to such a position that it was above the clouds. So all the birds, the deer, and all the animals who were on the hill, they couldn't jump down and get under. They were above the clouds. And they felt no distress either. They were all completely happy and completely pacified. Nobody suffered. No, the only one who suffered was Indra. He was the only one who suffered. Nobody else suffered. Everyone was experiencing intense, ecstatic love. And so was Krishna. But Indra suffered. He suffered, of course. Sometimes devotee has to suffer. Krishna sometimes punishes his devotee, but his punishment is a manifestation of his mercy. So Indra did suffer, and he realized that when he was told that after 7 consecutive days, when somebody came back, I can't remember who it was, and told him, and I think it was, I can't remember. Somebody came back. I think it was Indra's carrier, came back and told him that you had a plan, you to cause so much suffering for the residents of Vrindavan, but I'm sorry to tell you, nobody's suffering there. And Indra I want to go see this myself. So he immediately got on his carrier and he went to that place to see what was happening. And he saw that not only were the residents of Vrindavan not suffering under the hill, but by his potency, one of his potencies is that when he lifted the hill, all the earth fell down around the hill and it built like a dike. And so all the water that was started to fill up was not even entering under the hill. And then another potency of Krishna's, his Ichcha Shakti potency, manifested. And what it did is, when that water, although it was continuously coming for 7 days, he was drying it up through his Ichcha Shakti potency. So that even the water couldn't even stay there. And when Indra came and he looked, and he saw Krishna holding up the hill, and all the residents are under the hill, and nobody was suffering, he realized, uh-oh, I did it again. He realized he had made a tremendous mistake. That he was thinking that he would punish the residents of Vrindavan, and he was thinking that he would try to surpass Krishna. But nobody can surpass Krishna. And in this way, this pastime was manifest in order to intensify the love of Krishna's devotees. Of course, now we didn't even speak. I got into the topic of lifting the Govardhan Hill, and because I was thinking that, okay, this is the 7th day, because But actually, what we talked about last week was the Anakut. And the Anakut was when Krishna told all the residents of Vrindavan to take all the ingredients for the Indra Yajna and to what we're trying to emulate here today in our simple fashion, comparatively to what the residents of Vrindavan did. They took all the ingredients of sacrifice and they built lakes of ghee, lakes of milk. They built mountains of rice, mountains of halava. I mean, literally, mountains. If you go to Govardhan Hill, and the Anakuta place, it's a very long distance. I can't remember exactly how far it is, but it's several kilometers. It's all the way from Dun near Vartanakunda to Aniyur, which is several kilometers. And that's the place where the Anakuta was performed. And all these mountains and ingredients of offerings were made to Govardhan. And Krishna said to prepare all these wonderful offerings to invite all the Brahmins, feed all the Brahmins, to feed all the cows, and to feed all the lower animals. And Krishna said everybody should be fed sumptuously. And Prabhupada even explains, he said, Govardhan Puja, this Anakut is still observed in Vrindavan today. And the residents of Vrindavan, they take the large quantities of prasadam and they throw it out. And Prabhupada says that they throw it out and people will very eagerly take this prasadam and they honor that prasadam on the Anakuta ceremony. And that at that particular, and then after performing the Anakuta, then Krishna told everybody then to circumambulate Govardhan Hill. And of course, that's one of my favorite times to be a Govardhan, when you see then all the local residents, they come, tens of thousands of people on Govardhan Puja, circumambulating Govardhan Hill. And you hear them all night long singing songs, joyful songs, as they circumambulate and worshipping Giriraj. So they're emulating also the residents of Vrindavan who are circumambulating Govardhan Hill. And then after circumambulating Govardhan Hill, then, as the verse we read today, Krishna said, now just see Govardhan, this Giriraj, he's very eager to accept your offerings. And he said that, look, on the top of Govardhan Hill, and Krishna had manifested a very wonderful form. And in that wonderful form, the caves became Krishna's mouth, the trees became Krishna's arms, and there, although there was a hill on the bottom, on top, there was another manifestation of Krishna who was reaching out and who was accepting all the offerings with his thousands of arms, one by one. And all the residents were looking at this, and Krishna said, just see how Giriraj is so happy with your offerings. We should all offer our obeisances and offer our respect to Giriraj. And Krishna got down, and he was offering, in essence, he was offering his obeisances to himself, and all the residents of Vrindavan were offering their obeisances as well to Krishna. And then, although Krishna on Govardhan Hill was taking all the offerings and was eating it all, after eating everything, and then, as we know, the reason why that village is, if you continue on the Govardhan path, you come to a place called Aniyur. And Aniyur is a place where, actually, it's the very end of the Anakut ceremony, when Krishna was saying, okay, I'm not satisfied. Give me more. Give me more. Aniyur, Aniyur, Aniyur means give me more. Krishna is hungry for prema. He's hungry. Just as he was hungry for prema when Mother Jasoda, this is what we were speaking about the other night. I never got to it, but the other night we were speaking how Krishna was hungry for prema. When Mother Jasoda put Krishna down, when she was feeding him, she went to get the milk that was boiling on the stove, and Krishna became very disturbed. Why was Krishna disturbed? Because Krishna was very hungry. And he was disturbed because Jasoda put him down, and he became so angry because he put him down that he began breaking open the pots of butter. And in this way, Krishna was demonstrating his hunger for the love of his devotees. And so then after the Anukuta, and after the Krishna said, give me more, then everything was returned. That same ceremony, the Anukuta ceremony, is performed every year. In fact, there's also Madhavendra Puri, there's a description of Chaitanya Charitamrita, how he was also performing the Anukuta ceremony, as had been done by Krishna and all the residents of Vrindavan many years earlier. So that same Anukuta ceremony is still worshipped. And that is part of our ceremony tonight. We have the mountain of Oliver, I guess. And we, as Prabhupada said, that we should take a stone and pebbles from Giriraj, and they can be worshipped. I believe there's going to be a Govardhan Shila, which will be placed on top of Govardhan Hill tonight after our kirtan this evening. There'll be a Abhishek of Giriraj, of the Govardhan Shila, on top of Govardhan Hill. And we will give the opportunity to circumambulate. And then, I don't know what the tradition is. I haven't been in America for Govardhan Puja for at least 15, 20 years. But I know what tradition, what we usually do in India, where I'm usually for Govardhan Puja, is prasadam is distributed very wildly. I think we have to keep control. Be a little controlled here. But I think it should be distributed and we should be careful. I guess that's probably why the barrier is put around, is to keep people from going in and helping themselves. Prasadam is generally distributed. And we'll partake of the remnants. This is a little of Govardhan Leela that we were able to try to introduce tonight on the topic of worship of Govardhan Hill. And as we said, we were inspired yesterday by Garuda Prabhu, who was speaking so much how Krishna is hungry for love. So this is a very good pastime, the Govardhan Leela. And as we read tonight, in this, that this severe distress Indra apparently inflicted upon the residents of Vrindavan was an arrangement by Sri Krishna's pastime potency, Lila Shakti, so that Krishna could taste the sweetness of their prema to his full satisfaction. For a hungry person, the pain of hunger increases the happiness he feels when he finally eats excellent food, and thus hunger can be said to enhance the pleasure of eating. It's 6 o'clock, time for aarti. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.